FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is October 24th, 2016. Got somebody on who hasn't been with us in quite some time. He was very active in the whole movement for quite a while. And then that's about a little more than a year ago, he just said, you know, I'm tired of this. I want to do something that I love. You can't fault a person for that. I'm talking about none other than the Silver Shield, Chris Duane. Chris, it's great to have you back on the show.
Thank you so much. It was good catching up with you, and I'm glad to be here today.
Hey, so you were so active. You wrote manifestos. I mean, you had so many people following you, and one day you just said enough is enough.
Well, not one day, but there was many days where I'm like, why am I still doing this? Because I'm either preaching to the choir or I'm reaching out to people who won't wake up until reality hits them in the face. And no amount of logic, no amount of rhetoric, no amount of passion, format of anything is going to wake up, the majority of the people. And, you know, I've realized that, you know, the human consciousness only wakes up when they come face to face with the consequences of their actions. And we as a society have been so devoid of coming face to face with any responsibility or consequences we totally live in a virtual reality, devoid of any real consequences. You know, if people, commit crimes, they get to run for presidency, you know, like that's
they get
just
rewarded.
That's just the fact.
They get rewarded. Yeah. I know what you mean. I understand your frustration. And hey,
it's not really frustration. It's a reality. And it's something I've, you know, just come to peace with. I think frustration is when you, kind of go against what reality is and say, I want it my way.
Yeah.
And I think the frustration that I had probably was creating, you know, all these efforts and books and 1,000 videos and, you know, this and that. And that's where the frustration was, because it was my effort of trying to make reality, wake up, and it wasn't going to happen. So now I'm totally aligned with it. I get it. Like there's, you know, alcoholics don't get better until they hit rock bottom. Same thing with druggies, same thing with, you know, cheats and thieves and stuff like that. And for a society that's lived off of debt and death, which is what, you know, all of Western civilization is based off of. We don't see the faces. We don't see the true pain. We don't see the true debts. We don't see the true costs of our consumption, our careers, our votes, the emptiness of our vapid, meaningless lives. Because we're not living a real reality. And, I've taken it upon myself that over this past year, to, you know, get out of that and stop participating in it. And it's led to a long, search on what is real and what is meaningful. And it's not been easy, but, I can tell you that I'm living a much more, meaningful life and appreciating the present as opposed to, you know, researching the past and all these doom porn future fear things. Being present is the only space that we can live in. And I've enjoyed it now for, you know, over a year.
Hey, and don't forget, you're still doing your coins, and those images speak thousands of words somewhat distort an old cliche, right? I mean, you can say more in one of your coins than you could say in 10 of your videos.
No, and that's true. And not only that, it's something that, the pictures are worth more than 1,000 words. I mean, that's a true thing. Plus the fact that these are made on, you know, a substance that will be around for thousands of years. I mean, you can't even guarantee your YouTube video is going to be up for 2 days. And I put, 10 right. times more effort into creating a video. Mm-hmm. I did this whole Seven Sins of Obama miniseries, mini documentary. It gets banned or, you know, copyright struck and or, you know, whatever, and it could be gone in an instant. You have no recourse. Whereas, you know, once these silver strikes are made, you know, we're still looking at, coins from ancient Rome and looking at the faces on them and trying to understand the time of the day and what this meant and, who these people were and why they were devalued and, you know, what civilizations, you know, were, and these are the only remains of that civilization. And I like to think, you know, all my Silver Shield stuff at some point, you know, while it may not be totally appreciated now, future generations will look back at this and go, wow, you know, who's this guy that did all these, you know, anti-paradigm messages when the whole world was drunk on debt and death? This guy's calling it out. And, you know, I don't know what humanity is going to look like, you know, 50, 100 or 1,000 years from now. But I'm proud to say that these Silver Shield, you know, strikes somewhere along in the earth, you know, probably under layers of dirt and ash, they will be there, and there will be stories to be told in the future. And I hope that it resonates and shapes, you know, a better society of humanity, because we've been, you know, going down the wrong path for so long, and we haven't done anything consciously different in 2,000 years.
Yeah. Oh, you're so correct. And hey, well, it's an interesting thing with the coins because, you know, like you say, coins are around for thousands of years. I mean, a lot of them get melted down, let's face it, and recycled, reconstituted, but a lot of them don't. And you just never know. You just never know. It's the coolest thing. It's kind
and
of
the ones
like,
that get melted down are usually from failed societies. I mean, you look at, think of all the Nazi gold.
Yeah.
You know, like that gets mailed down because it's the society is, you know, toasted. And the images that were cast upon them, you know, while wildly popular during their time, then become the, you know, joke or, you know, mortal wound or sore spot for future generations that have to live with the consequences. So while everybody is now buying, you know, U.S. Eagles, you know, oh, American Eagles and Maple Leafs with the Queen of England on it.
Yeah.
I really believe once future generations see the horrid mess that those two Anglo-American empires have led us over the last 400 years, I think all those will be melted down. But my stuff, you know, it's totally anti-paradigm, totally unappreciated now. And I think it's going to, I mean, it already is. I mean, if you buy one of my, you know, Silver Shield stuff, it's always worth more than if you spent the same amount of money on any government coin, because it's more rare, it's more meaningful. And, you know, there's a good collectors group following it. We just had the Silver Shield guide.com going to its second quarterly issue. And it's, you know, it's a neat thing to be a part of, and I'm glad I stumbled upon it.
Hey, it was brilliant. I mean, you created this whole sector, segment, if you will, of the coin market, collectibles of basically social protest coins, and nobody ever thought of it before, at least not in this generation, not in this society. I don't remember. Maybe in the Revolutionary War they were doing it, but I don't even think so then. I mean, A, it wasn't as easy to strike coins back then as it is now. You've got contract mints all over the place. And I just think the whole thing was brilliant. So what was the first one that you did? Refresh my recollection.
Debt and Death. It was, and I went through a couple of versions of that. But basically it was, if I was to make a, I thought it was going to be a one-off thing. I thought we were going to do one. So I was like, God, you know, if I really wanted to, you know, plan a big stake out there, what would I want to do? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reason why I chose Silver Shield is because I wanted to be the opposite of the Rothschilds. You know, the Rothschilds were known as Red Shield in Germany. Right. They're originally named Bauer. And, you know, if I could point to one family, you know, one family that really got this debt and death paradigm going, it would be the Rothschilds. And, you know, that family, since the Battle of Waterloo, has amassed just an insane amount of wealth. I mean, they literally bought all the stocks in London right after Waterloo. You know, Nathaniel Rothschild found out that Napoleon had lost Waterloo and went to, I don't know, London Stock Exchange, wherever it was back then, and started selling everything as if England had lost the war. And all the other stock traders there go, hey, you know, Nathaniel Rothschild, they saw it as an outsider. You know, it was all white shoe, you know, Christian. You know, they didn't want the little Jewish guy coming into their thing. So they kind of shunned him, but they always respected him, and they knew that he had good information. And when they saw that he was selling they all panicked and said, you know, you got to tell us, why are you selling? Why are you selling? And he didn't say anything, just kept selling and selling and selling. And it caused a panic. And the guy was genius. I mean, I hate to give him as much credit, but absolutely genius. No amount of money has ever been made more in one day than what Nathaniel Rothschild did. So he continued to sell. And the whole time he was selling to his own agents. So he was never out any of these shares. But man, he created a panic, so much so that all the traders thought that England had lost to Napoleon. The entire English Empire was going to go down. Napoleon was going to run wild over Europe. France was the future. England was done, all within 24 hours. And Nathaniel bought up all the shares at 80-90% discounts, bought them all up. Mm-hmm. And the next day, the news came out that Napoleon had lost and Wellington had won. And the shares skyrocketed back to where they were the day before, but they had an all new owner. Nathaniel Rothschild now owned all the stocks of the empire that was going to lead the next, 200 years. And I think the very next day, he also leveraged that to own the Bank of England, which was the first privately held central bank in the world. And he leveraged all of his winnings from that day to get the Bank of England the next day. That's just England. They had five brothers. And all told, I mean, the Rothschilds are stupendously wealthy. They are definitely trillionaires. You know, these billionaire pikers of Gates and Buffett, they're nothing compared to the owners of the world central bank. So when I first designed my first coin, I wanted to do debt and death. It was about the Rothschilds in debt and death they trust, and they certainly do.
Yeah. So how many coins have you done since you started the series, Chris?
I think, and you got to go to silvershieldguide.com. The guy just printed the second quarterly issue. The guide itself, I think, is 250 pages. Oh my God. I think we've done over 120 different designs, and then there's multiple sizes and strikes and all that other stuff. So I know it's over 500 different variants of something that I've done over the last 5 years. And honestly, Kerry, I still feel like I'm on idle because I have, at least another 100 designs already done. I got
really,
but I can't get them, produced fast enough. I can't get them, marketed, right. We're still in the infancy of what I think can be done. Mm-hmm. But I'm very happy to be doing what I'm doing. And, I love being a part of this, and it's something meaningful. Not everybody gets to, go to, the party and say, hey, what do you do for a living? I get to do something that I truly love. And I think is, aligned important with my values. This is not, me ranting and raving about the banks and then, mm-hmm. clocking in 9 to 5 at Chase Manhattan,
Yeah. Hey, well, you're blessed. You get to do something you love, you get compensated for it, hopefully.
That's right.
Yep. And and it's fun, mm-hmm. and it gets attention, makes an impression. I mean, there's just a lot of great things about it, so you should feel good.
And people ask me, Chris, how do I get doing what you're doing? And I told them there's no roadmap, but one thing I do know is true. You are not meant to get on earth and be and get a job, just over broke job, to be, working for the man, to be part of some collective. I'm a firm believer every single person in this world's got some special talent, some gift, some passion that most likely got snuffed out by, a group of, indoctrinated people.
School teacher, family, friends. Yeah,
school teacher, family, anything. They snuff out any sense of passion or interest and stuff like that.
Very sad.
And it's really up to you, because your only purpose here on earth is to discover that and release it. So I try to tell people is, don't do what I do. I left my family, fortune. I, quit jobs to, go write a blog full time. It's very stressful. I mean, sure. I'm not saying go out and quit your job, but go out and start, learning about something that really interests you. And I don't care what it is, because ultimately, the very fact that you're going out to look will show you the way. It'll find you people who will encourage you and support you, and maybe bring more opportunities into something else. Mm-hmm. I certainly didn't start out thinking about making coins, but it took 6 or 7 turns for me to get there. The key is that you believe in yourself, you follow your passion, and in time, it may take 7 years, it may take 20 years. It took me 38 years to figure out what I was going to do. But mm-hmm. in time, it's the only thing that really matters. And I really wish I encourage people to, you know, to go down that path.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I always told you the thing, I was at a branding seminar and the guy asked the question, if money was no object and you could do whatever you wanted to do, what would it be? And that's what launched me doing what I'm doing now, and such a journey. So happy doing it. So,
yeah,
you know,
that's the key. It's a journey. Yeah. It's not a destination. The joy is actually doing what you love, not getting to a place where you go, ah, you know, I'm done. No, that should never be in your equation.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's the journey. Totally the journey. I mean, I love what I'm doing. There's nothing else I'd rather do. I mean, if I can change minds and make people think, I don't even care if I change minds. Just make people think critically. That's all. Question the world around
them. Question their reality.
Yeah, that's all I want to do. That's my only goal. They don't have to agree with me. In fact, it's better if they don't. Just question your existence. Why are things the way they are? You know, when you're a kid, you're saying, and you say, why, daddy, why? And your parents say, enough already, why? But, you know, that that kills the initiative there. And it's such a shame, because it's so important. Why? I mean, why is everything, you know, because just like words, phrases come into use, come into being. And then when you check the etymology, and then you find out like the whole nine yards that came from World War One. There was 9 yards in an anti-aircraft gun, you know, on a machine gun, on a fighter, you know, on a on an airplane, you know, so many of these sayings, and you just take it for granted. You never question it. And when you start questioning even the things you say, you know, it really makes a difference.
Yeah, just recently I've stopped using the word kids. You know, I've just been like, oh, you know, I'm gonna pick up the kids, I'm gonna go see the kids or whatever. But you know, kids is really a terminology of, you know, goats, kids, you know, goats, children, and
that's what they used to tell us in school.
It's kind of degrading. Yeah. It's degrading. So now I say children, or I say my children's name.
Yeah.
But it's very important that you think about what you take for granted, even the words that you say, because that's what shapes your ideas. You know, you could say assault rifle, you know, and then all of a sudden you think those are bad, or, you know, gold bug, you know, I hate silver bug. That's a negative connotation. All those things. It's nothing. And you have to almost do mental kung fu every time you say something, but in time it becomes natural.
So true. Hey, well, I had a professor in law school, W. Bernard Richland. He had been the big liberal Democrat. He had been, but nothing compared to what they are today. He had been the corporation counsel for New York City, and the only law professor I had that was absolute genius, off the charts genius. And what he said is, you come up with language and you use language, all right, whether it's a phrase or whatever, to get your idea across. And then if you do a good enough job, your adversary will start using it, the judge will start using it. Once they start using your language, you've won the battle. And you know, you see it over and over again. Such a great thing. Hey, so Chris, we want to buy your coins, want to find out more about you, what you're doing. Is there any place we can do these things?
For the most part, I mean, I have the Silver Shield group, and you'd have to go to silvershieldexchange.com to join. But those are really just the premium stuff that I'm doing. I do very limited micro mintage, meaning that we'll take one design, make it available for a few days, and then that's it. So we have had mintages as low as, you know, 500, some of them up to, you know, 2,000 or 3,000. But because we only mint them for 3 days, or available for 3 days, mint them in 1 day. They typically do very well, in the retail market, because it's, you know, you had people who are like this. I did a vote witch design that's selling right now, you know, of Hillary, and you take a look at that and people just go, oh my God, that's stunning, because it totally encapsulates what a sick lady this is. once they're made, that's it. They're collectible. You can't get them anywhere else. The people that do buy them hold on to them. So they're very few that that it's a secondary market, and they usually double in value every single time. So, you know, a lot of these guys are pretty smart. They said, hey, you know, why am I buying Eagles that, you know, basically keep the same premium over spot? Yeah. And every time spot gets crushed, I'm out and the premiums are still the same. Whereas my designs, you know, they buy them for, you know, a nice price. They double in value and then they never go down because there's so few of them out there. So I don't know. It's the only thing I've found investing in silver that's just an absolute no-brainer. You know, I was a big believer in buying as much silver as you possibly can. And, and I saw in 2008, all you do is just get crushed when the paper market gets done. It's illiquid when the market bottoms, and then at the top, you know, and during the other times, you're just barely making over what you bought it for. Whereas my stuff, it, you know, continually goes up in value, and you can go to silvershieldguide.com and take a look at all the stuff. That's the first thing I think people should buy is buy one of those guides. It's, I think, $15 for a black and white, $20 for a gold, color one. And, take a look at all the stuff. All the stories are there. It's pretty cool.
All right. And as always, we'll have a link on our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com, to Chris's site. Hey, any questions, comments on the new site or anything else, just send me an email, kl@carrylutz.com. And we're always around for you. Newsletter shortly. And Chris, hey, it's great reconnecting with you. Good luck on this.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And hope it all works out well, and we will talk to you again soon. Be well, my friend.
All right, take care.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.